Well, welcome everybody. Hi, everybody. Thank you for being here. And thank you for attending our chat on the newest changes coming up. It seems like they're changing every day. And Mike and I are glad that you're here. Thank you so much. So you see what PJ Co. is all about. My name is Andy Johnson, by the way. I'm a CPA, and I am one of the co-founders of PJ Co. And all we do is fight sales tax audits and try to fight them before they even start. We focus on state and local taxes only. And we're trying to help e-commerce sellers on this particular broadcast today deal with these changes that are coming on almost a daily basis with Amazon and the states. And so I've got with me my trusty companion, Mike Fleming, one of the most and best well-known authorities on sales tax for e-commerce. And so, Mike, are you with me? I don't see your video. It's because we stopped your video, so you have to restart it. There you go. There you go, and I got you on mute, so feel free to join in. There you go.
I'm back.
All right. So, Mike, I'm coming to you, as you know, from downtown St. George, Utah, the home of Zion National Park here on the ground floor. And so there's, if we get boring, then people can at least see the bus go by and the rocks behind me and at least something interesting. You, on the other hand, are in downtown Dallas on the, what's the name of that building you're in again?
1700 Pacific, 24th floor. I see a couple of clouds roll by. That's about it, though. Not too much street traffic.
You can see it down in the distance. So, Mike, there's a lot of things going on. I just, as you know, posted an article on LinkedIn that Ryan can share a link to everybody. I posted it, I think, yesterday. And it's called The Wild, Wild West in State Taxes Right Now. And things are rapidly changing, and most of the changes are not good for FBA sellers, e-commerce sellers. The latest one, though, might be good, but I welcome everybody to have a look at the article on LinkedIn, and we'll talk about it a little bit more, but it's really my gut feelings about what the states are doing, and how is it possible that they can do these things. It's a little bit radical, I think, in that it goes against just about anything else you might find out there, not just for the sake of going against it, but it's my true feelings about, you know, what have we come to in this country. I got a little bit of a cough, so but what have we come to in our country, the land of the free, where states just pass these laws and small businesses have to deal with them. So just recommend that article and give you a sense of really where we are. You know, we are state tax advisors, and we deal in the real world, not just in the theoretical world. But in the theoretical world, my heart is really against these state governments who are just passing laws almost at will and in clear, I don't know if I use the word defiance, or clearly knowing that it's not in compliance with the ruling in the Quill case. I don't blame the states for doing it because they need the revenue, but I'm not the state's advocate. I'm a client advocate, and I think that it's almost all bad news. So, Mike, I want to cover. Oh, you have a comment?
Yeah, I was just going to make a comment. I like your subtitle there. Are the sheriffs becoming the bad guys? And when we talk about Quill and how that's the law of the land, I mean, you've got a Supreme Court justice soliciting cases to overturn that. So, since when are the people who are supposed to be protecting us from unconstitutional items supposed to be soliciting cases in order to overturn it? So, again, squarely on the side of the states, at least Justice Kennedy is. So it's a really good article. I liked it. Good job.
Thank you. All right, let's cover what's going on most recently, because this development and the reason why we thought we should just come on and do a Q&A session. And so that reminds me to invite everybody to submit questions. I have a few already from our some of our clients. So there is a module for a Q&A that you need to find and send those to us so that you know, we will answer your questions today. So please do send them in. So even just as recently as yesterday, there's a development. So Mike, you've got this picture here up that I'm sharing. Tell us about what's the, just briefly, because we're going to dig into it later, especially as we get questions, but what's going on with Pennsylvania?
Well, Pennsylvania passed a law very similar to the one that Washington had passed. And it basically states that Amazon needs to collect tax on a going forward basis. And Amazon has decided that they're going to do so. And we think we'll see more of this in states that are not trying to go after Amazon for back taxes. So the good news here is that unlike Washington, not a whole lot of exposure for FBA sellers on a going forward basis from this point. Pennsylvania, we've spoken to them. They think that you still need to collect, file a return and just zero taxable sales. But for most sellers out there, if you're only selling on Amazon, there's not a whole lot of exposure for you. Pennsylvania is probably a state that for at least smaller to mid-sized sellers, we're going to take off our list of FBA states. Now, if you're selling in multiple states, that's a whole nother issue because your inventory in the warehouse still collects.
If you're selling on multiple platforms.
Yeah, I'm sorry, not multiple states. If you're selling on multiple platforms, the inventory in that Amazon warehouse still gives you nexus per the state. So you still have a responsibility to collect tax on all of your other platforms. And for the larger sellers out there, Pennsylvania is a state that watches money running through your sales tax accounts. So you got to look out for the income tax. Smaller sellers, again, not a huge issue for you. Larger sellers could be a big issue. One of the first things they do is send out a nexus questionnaire. And like we said, Amazon's going to be responsible going forward, but all sellers are still responsible for that past exposure.
So we have a question from Lena about footwear, but I want to just back up. We will answer your question, Lena, for sure. Thank you for sending it in. I want to make sure that we just step back a little bit and say for FBA sellers, how it all works, right? Because sometimes we talk about Amazon, whether or not they collect tax. And we know now that Amazon collects tax everywhere on its own sales of its own products. The question is, what should third-party sellers do? So either FBA or other third-party sellers. So there's a couple of different options. One, Amazon could automatically collect the tax for you, and that's what they're doing in Washington and what they've announced they're going to start doing in Pennsylvania, right? Or, some states want that, or some states just want all of the individual retailers to register themselves and collect the tax. So we're going to talk about some of those states. For example, let's skip South Carolina for a minute and come back to that. Rhode Island has gotten Amazon to agree to reveal seller information. So Rhode Island was not trying to get Amazon to collect a tax on behalf of FBA or third-party sellers. Rhode Island says FBA sellers should be collecting tax. We want them to register. And so we're going to pass this notice and reporting law, and we want facilitators like Amazon to turn over seller contact information. And Amazon has agreed, right?
Correct.
And the same thing, so we'll get into the details of these laws just a bit, little bit. So Rhode Island doesn't even care really about, let's see, I have stopped sharing my screen, I think. So
I see it changing. We're okay. On the, there is no warehouse in Rhode Island. Now the end.
Right. So Amazon or Rhode Island doesn't care necessarily about whether you have physical presence in the state. They are just saying you need to either collect tax voluntarily, or we're going to make you do all this notifications. And if you don't notify your customers, post all these things on the website, and you notify your customer not only at the time of purchase, but within 48 hours of the purchase, and then send your customers a report, and then provide an affirmation to the state, then if you don't do all those things, we're going to fine you $10,000. So that's what Rhode Island is doing. And similarly is what Massachusetts or Massachusetts wants you to register because you have inventory there.
Yeah, just to jump backwards, since you don't have a physical presence nexus like inventory and warehousing in Rhode Island, you know, this slide here, they just want to make your life so miserable. They can't make you register for sales tax, but they're going to make your life so miserable you're going to want to register for sales tax. So, you know, that's a different approach than some of these other states are taking. And like Andy said, Massachusetts, you know, a lot of states are and sellers think that Amazon should be collecting the tax. Massachusetts has gone another way. They you know, sent off a, you know, shot across everyone's bow that, hey, not everybody thinks that way, and we're going to pursue the states directly. You know, so they sued Amazon for the seller list. So sorry to step on your toes there, Andy. I just wanted to
step away,
jump in.
So those are kind of the range of options. Tell us, let me share now what's going on in South Carolina, what we know about South Carolina, because that's another one.
Yeah, absolutely. And South Carolina actually sued Amazon, and they think Amazon should not only be collecting on a going forward basis, but they think that Amazon should pay all of the back taxes that the sellers are responsible for in other states per the state. So this is a totally different approach. It's sort of similar to Pennsylvania and Washington, except where those states are saying Amazon's only responsible going forward, South Carolina is actually suing Amazon for all of the past exposure. Now, in our conversations with the state, they said that, you know, this could drag on for years until they get a final resolution. They're not accepting VDAs as of the last time we spoke because they do think that Amazon is responsible for the past sales. However, they said that they may lose this case. They don't think they're going to lose it, but they may lose it. And if they lose it, that would mean Amazon's not responsible. And if Amazon's not responsible, then the sellers would be responsible. So we've been telling our clients to take the more conservative route. Until we have some sort of resolution in South Carolina, continue getting registered or stay registered if you are. Not everybody has taken that position. They've told their clients and that you don't have to be registered there anymore. And there was so much of that talk going on that South Carolina decided that they needed to make some sort of an announcement. So this announcement came out on February 23rd, and it's basically saying, we're still collecting tax from FBA sellers on a going forward basis. You know, you can get registered there and we'll collect the tax. And that's your just in case. That's sort of the position we're taking. What happens if this case goes against South Carolina and you as a seller are responsible? To me, paying the extra costs to be registered now and collect the tax helps me sleep a little bit better at night if what I'm selling is taxable and my sales are material.
Okay, so let's answer a couple of questions. And I want to come back to what South Carolina is doing. And so remind me about this, Mike, and why Amazon gets put in a tough spot, okay? So let's talk about Lena's question, which is, we sell footwear, which is not taxed in Pennsylvania, generally speaking. Is Amazon going to collect tax on footwear on our FBA sales, even though the state doesn't require it for general sales?
I would not think so. And I don't see any provisions in the Pennsylvania statute, but like in the Washington statute, they actually say if the seller puts something, you know, use this language, but any mistakes that are made in taxation due to information provided by the seller is responsible for. So one of the examples of that is, let's say that you are selling toys and clothing is exempt in that particular state. And you say the toy is clothing. So Amazon doesn't tax it. Amazon gets audited. Well, Amazon's not going to have to pay that money out of their pocket. They would have to come back to you for it, and you're responsible.
That's part of the terms of agreement that Amazon has with the seller.
Correct.
And is it also the agreement they have with the state, though?
That is the agreement they have with the state of Washington. I have not seen any language in Pennsylvania like that. But the reason I'm bringing that up is so long as your listings are in the proper categories. For example, if you have a health and beauty product, you're selling it under health and beauty. If you have clothing, you're selling it as clothing. Sometimes you'll have sellers who, you know, aren't approved for a certain category, and they're going to find a backdoor around it. And then things may get taxed wrong. But otherwise, Amazon is pretty good. And I don't think that they're going to be making a whole lot of mistakes because they have to deal with the headaches then. And in certain states, if you're collecting tax on items that are not taxable and you're a big target like Amazon, you're going to have all of the attorneys chasing you for class action lawsuits. So that's something that they have to look out for. So not just for your protection to protect your sales, but also to protect themselves from class action lawsuits.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. So that segues to our next question by Anonymous, who says, if Amazon was already collecting sales tax for an FBA seller in Washington and Pennsylvania before 2018, in other words, because the FBA seller said, I have Nexus there, start collecting my tax. Does the FBA seller now need to turn off Amazon collections in these states to avoid double taxation, double collections by the state and by Amazon? Well, she says by the state or he, by the state and by the seller. So why don't you address that?
Yeah, Amazon is automatically going to turn off your tax collection so you don't have to worry about it anymore.
That's how it is in Washington.
And it's per the general rules of the marketplace collection. That's what they're saying there also. It actually won't even show up in your sales tax report. You have to go to your payment reports, the way that I understand this. But this is a big distinction or a good opportunity to talk about the distinctions. In Washington, they have what's called the business and occupation tax. And the business and occupation tax is actually a part of the sales tax form. And it is, it's roughly 0.5%, 0.47% for a retailer. So all of your sales into Washington are subject to this business and occupation tax or B&O. Washington is saying you still have to register. You still have to pay this B&O on 100% of your sales into the state. You still have to report all of the sales on other platforms that are being made into the state. You do your return just as you normally would. After you figure out how much B&O you pay, then it rolls down to how much sales tax you would calculate. And then you just take a credit for any of the sales tax that actually Amazon has paid on your behalf. So in Washington, you still have a responsibility there, and the state is going to be monitoring that very closely. I mean, that's part of your sales tax form. So we are recommending that you stay registered in a state like Washington, and even, you know, depending on your circumstances, most sellers, we're going to say, continue to get registered, because Washington is also the most aggressive state in tracking you down. And once they have you, they're going to ask all sorts of questions about your past sales, and they've got a minimum 39% interest they've been applying to anyone they find. So you want to be careful with Washington. From what we know about Pennsylvania right now, that could be a strategy. You may want to deregister if all your only sales are through Amazon, and you know you're a small to medium sized seller. Because the penalty, I saw someone's question come here, the penalty is going to be based upon the actual sales tax that's owed. And if you don't owe any sales tax, you know, what types of penalties can the state impose?
Mm-hmm. All right, great. We're getting some really good questions. Let's go to Kristen. Hello, Kristen. So Kristen says, when you say you will take PA off the list of FBA states, you mean you no longer recommend getting registered in PA, Pennsylvania, if Amazon is your only platform? Is that because there are no penalties for not filing if no taxes due?
Yeah, in general, that's going to be the approach we take, except for larger sellers. Pennsylvania is one of the more aggressive states who track down sellers for income tax, and they will send out Nexus questionnaires. And when they send those out, they're asking about all your past exposure. So if you've been registered from day number one and you've been paying all of your taxes, then you know, you don't have anything to worry about. But if you're a big seller and all of a sudden you deregister, that could throw up red flags, and they could start looking into your past exposure as well as why you're not paying income tax. Getting registered on a going forward basis, it's that income tax that has me concerned. I mean, it's not a state like Texas that's automatically going to open up an income tax account, but they are a state that follows up pretty quickly. So I spoke to a $20 million seller this morning. He was thinking about doing a VDA in Pennsylvania to clear up his past exposure. And then he heard about this news. He said, should we still move forward? And my recommendation to him is absolutely. And he was selling on more than one platform, by the way.
Okay.
So just to go back, your facts and circumstances are going to play a big part into whether we would say Pennsylvania is an FBA state for you or not.
Yeah. What I heard when we were talking about this before, you were saying that it doesn't mean you should not get registered, but in terms of priority, Pennsylvania dropped way down.
Right. You know, so if you're going out and getting registered in five states, Pennsylvania is not going to be one of your five states. You're going out and getting registered in all the FBA states, you might as well include Pennsylvania. That's what the state says you should do.
Right. Or if you're a big seller, then.
Right. And bigger sellers are usually the ones who are going to be going out and getting registered in all of the states and worrying about the income tax.
All right, let's go. Lisa. Lisa says, what start date do I choose in South Carolina, or do I need a VDA if I was selling for several years in South Carolina?
South Carolina is not accepting VDAs right now. So you couldn't do one if you wanted, or at least as of 3-4 weeks ago, we had some VDAs that people were trying to do, and we explained the situation, and South Carolina said, no, just get registered going forward. So they would not accept any money for past liabilities.
Okay.
Now, that's our personal, you know, have they changed that since this announcement? I don't know, but that's what our personal experience is. That's what they've told us.
Okay. Yeah, I could foresee them maybe changing that, but we'll have to stay on top of that. This is a brand new development. Kristen, let's go back to Kristen on South Carolina. If a small seller collects tax in South Carolina and then South Carolina wins their case, and remember, South Carolina is suing Amazon on the basis that Amazon is the marketplace provider and they should have been collecting tax all this time. So South Carolina wants a lot of money, right? Now they've sued Amazon. Amazon's going to fight that, of course. So Kristen is saying, if South Carolina wins this and Amazon has to pay all these back taxes, and in the meantime, you have FBA sellers or third-party sellers collecting tax themselves, will the state then refund this money to the FBA seller, or does that just get let Amazon off the hook for that amount?
Well, it's never the FBA seller's money. It's either the customer's money or the state's money. So we're not sure how the state would approach this, but generally a tax only has to be collected once. Amazon does have access to your records. So what I would envision happening is Amazon would say, well, this much of this money has already been paid, and it would let them off the hook for the amount of taxes that actually have been collected. I don't see it ever going back to the FBA seller. The state could potentially force Amazon to refund it to all of the individuals out there who paid it, but that's a nightmare in and of itself. The state could also just keep the money. So even though, you know, tax is only supposed to be paid once, in a lot of instances, one hand doesn't always know what the other hand's doing between the buyer and the seller, and the state will collect it twice, once from the purchaser and once from the seller. So,
but in this case, I agree with you. I can't see when Amazon is going to fight this, they're going to ask for a credit for tax that has already been collected. And they have all those records.
Right.
So no refunds. And even if you did get a refund, you'd have to send it to your customer. So let's go back to Lisa. She's about Washington. Got her concerned about Washington. If I'm not registered in Washington right now, do I need to register?
State of Washington says so. And I tend to agree with them, not because your current exposure is so great. I mean, the B&O tax is only 0.5%. But if they do come after you for the B&O tax, you got to remember that right at their fingertips, I mean, Amazon is collecting the sales tax and they're keeping records on a per seller basis. If they're not sharing with the state now, you know, with Amazon turning over all sorts of information to states, that's not too hard a scenario to imagine. And if they turn that over, now they're going to be coming after people who are not registered and paying the B&O tax. So I think at the very least, getting registered and paying that B&O tax is going to stop the state. At least it has in the past. Once they found out you were registered, they didn't go on a witch hunt and check out when you actually started selling. But when you're not registered, one of the first things they do is, you know, they're going to want you to fill out a Nexus questionnaire, and they're going to want to see a copy of your inventory event detail report. And if you've been doing this for 3, 4, 5 years, they're going to want all of those back sales taxes, all of that back B&O tax, and tack a 39% penalty on top of it. So for Washington, I do think, even though Amazon is collecting the tax, that you should still register to collect the tax in the state of Washington. And even if you're only registering in 5 states, you know, Washington is further up my list because of how aggressive they are. They're not down on the bottom of the list like a Pennsylvania at this point.
So what's the impact? Lisa's asking, should I just use a start date of today, or what if I put a start date of, or can I get away with that, I guess is what she's probably asking.
The state doesn't want you to do that. The state wants you to pay all of those back taxes. They want you to pay all of that penalty and interest, or enter into a program like a voluntary disclosure program. In a voluntary disclosure program, the state is going to reward you for stepping forward voluntarily, and they'll limit the look-back period. In Washington, it's 4 years plus the current year, so right now that's 4 years and 3 months. And they're going to waive that penalty, that 39% penalty. They're still going to make you pay the interest, but for the period, the interest was only 2% in Washington. They just raised it recently to 3%. Even with that, most sellers are just using a current date going forward. It's not right, but that's what they're doing.
Yeah, I think that the sellers could argue to themselves that we don't agree with this nexus rules, mm-hmm. and we don't really think we had nexus, and mm-hmm. so we're in effect we're registering voluntarily.
Correct.
That would basically be the argument that they're making.
And their thought is, at least I'm stopping the bleeding. If the state ever comes after me for that old stuff, I'll deal with it at that point. But I've stopped the bleeding. And I've also, at least based on the way the state has historically pursued sellers, I've protected myself to that extent.
Mm-hmm. Now, people will ask, well, how can a state even find me? And so how the state of Washington was finding you in the past was, how are they doing FBA sellers? How are they finding FBA sellers in the past versus how they're finding them now?
In the past, they were acting like your customers, and they were going into your account, placing an order, and if you were collecting tax, they'd abandon the shopping cart and go on to the next one. If you weren't collecting the tax, then they put on the detective's hat and started tracking you down. Very, very labor intensive. That's how a lot of states were doing that, but it's sort of morphed a little bit. California, for example, they said that was too slow. It was working for Washington. Washington threw more people at it, and they really stepped up the program. The other way, Washington went out and said, we're going to get this program and put it together, and it's going to pull a bunch of basic information off of the website, and then we're going to turn it over to a skip tracing company. And then we're going to send a blast email or letter campaign out there. And in the first batch, California sent out 5,000 letters. So there's two different approaches there. Something Washington's always done, even before FBA sellers, is they have a discovery unit that trolls, for lack of a better term, websites. And they'll look at your website to see if you have any type of information on there that points to looking like you have some sort of connection with Washington. So click-through relationships. Gentleman I was talking to earlier today had a click-through program. And that's how a state can find you. Click-through nexus is when you allow someone to steer your business. It doesn't have to be through a link on your website, but they steer you business and you pay them some sort of referral fee or commission. It's usually done through a link, so they call it click-through nexus. So if you have an affiliate program or a click on your website, that's how a state can find you. Some people on their normal websites, say, check out our Amazon page. And if you've got an auditor from Washington out there looking, oh, here's a buzzword, Amazon. There's an Amazon seller. If you're an Amazon seller, you must have inventory in the state of Washington. So lots of different ways that the states can find you. If you're selling to businesses, most FBA sellers don't, but now we're seeing more business-to-business sales. Businesses get audited. Individuals don't get audited. So we're seeing companies being found because one of their business company customers was audited and your invoice showed up in their audit. When an auditor comes out, they're not just looking at your sales to make sure you're charging the right amount of tax and remitting all of the tax that you're collecting, but they want to make sure that on your purchases, you're paying all of the tax. If the seller doesn't collect it, it doesn't mean it's a tax-free purchase. It just means you're responsible for self-assessing and remitting it to the state directly as a consumer use tax. So when the auditor sees that tax is not collected, they have a prospecting list. In some states, it's very formal. In Texas, they actually have to fill out what's called the lead card. And every state has something similar. So lots of ways that states can actually find out who you are.
Right. And especially in Washington, you know, Mike was describing all these things they had to do, which is a lot of work. But now with Amazon collecting tax on behalf of third-party sellers in Washington, now all that gets reported, right, to the state of Washington. So now Washington has a record of everybody that sells, where they could at least get access to, you would think, right?
Yeah. What's to stop them from going and pushing Amazon? I mean, Amazon's already turned over information in Massachusetts. They've already turned over information in Rhode Island. Once you do it in one state, what's to stop you from doing it in more states?
I mean, you're already reporting tax on behalf of other sellers. So if Washington, all they would have to do is press Amazon, and Amazon might turn it over, and they automatically have a list of everybody that might have, should have been collecting tax in the past. And one of the questions we've gotten in the past when we were talking about this Washington issue is, does that mean that Washington will drop these audits? You know, because Amazon's collecting the tax, so give us a break. Well, we have clients under audit in Washington. Did the state just drop them?
Absolutely not. We had one client who we worked with, and we tried to use that, and the state said, hey, this is going forward only. This is a brand new statute. It does nothing against the past. We also said we got bad advice because the original accountant had told them they only had to collect in their home state. We didn't know. We didn't even, you know, Washington never told us we had inventory in the state. And the response we got was pretty snarky. And it wasn't from the board yet. We haven't gotten an official response. But the auditor from Washington basically said, we recommend you don't approve. And we're only asking for penalty waiver at this point. We recommend that you don't approve penalty waiver because they should have known. On page 17 of the Amazon agreement that they entered into, it says that inventory can create nexus. And they gave us a copy of that agreement. They said they didn't provide us with an agreement, but we've got one here. And it was dated 12/2016. So right here, it's saying they acknowledge and agree. And that's the language coming right out of that agreement, that inventory can create nexus and that Amazon can move your inventory anywhere. So they were not very nice about it. They slapped us and slapped us hard.
Yeah.
They don't back down for anyone. So, and that's why, you know, the best thing is to be proactive in Washington, because I don't know of any attorneys, any accountants. Maybe someone's having success with them, but I generally tell people it's better to just get the best deal that you can and go down the road, because I've had people call me back a year later, year and a half later, hey, we're still fighting. I've spent $50,000, $60,000, $100,000 on legal fees, and we're right where we were to start with. Mm-hmm. Washington just doesn't play ball with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's answer Leslie's question. She says, is it still the case that fulfilled by merchant, so not FBA, but FBM, does not need to collect sales tax other than for their home state and or ship from state? In other words, I think those are just a repetition of the same thing. You know, you only collect, if you fulfill yourself, do you only have to worry about your home state?
Trick question. So for sales tax purposes, the answer would be no. If you don't have a link or a connection with a state where the state would say that you have to file sales tax, and third parties can create that. There are lots of links out there, but for someone in your situation, it's generally just going to be your home state like you're talking about. The state is not going to be able to require you to go out and collect sales tax. However, for these newfangled rules that are coming out, like Rhode Island, if you have more than 200 transactions in the state of Rhode Island, they can require you to jump through these hoops. And, you know, at the point of sale, you have to have on your website a notice saying that you're not responsible for collecting the tax in Rhode Island, and therefore the customer has to report the tax directly to the state as a consumer use tax. Then at checkout, a second notice has to be given to the customer, and then within 48 hours of the transaction, a third notice has to be given to the customer. And they all say the same thing. You're not responsible for collecting the sales tax, so the customer now is responsible for remitting that tax directly to the state as consumer use tax. To begin with, pretty bad customer messaging. Not a great
situation. Rhode Island wants you to tell your customers not only that they have to collect the tax, but that you're failing to collect it as a seller.
Exactly. So then you got to follow up by January 31st in Rhode Island, and you got to send a similar notice, only this time you got to list all of the transactions that the customer has made with you. You can't say what they're buying, just the dollar amounts. And you've got to tell them again they've got to pay the state. And then you have to attest to the state that you've met the other four requirements. So, and that has to be done by February 15th. If you miss any one of those things, it's a $10 penalty.
So $10,000.
Well, it's a minimum.
$10 per.
$10 per. So, but minimum $10,000. So if you've got, you know, a lot of customers in Rhode Island, it could be a lot more than $10,000, but it's going to be a minimum of $10,000 per Rhode Island. And here's some of the other states' penalties. In Colorado, it's $5 to $10 per. Louisiana, it was $5 to $10, but they took that out of the final language. Now they leave it up to the state to determine what they want to do. Pennsylvania, minimum $20,000. Washington, minimum $10,000. In Vermont, $5 to $10 per notice that's missed. So, you know, do you need to register for sales tax? No. Do you want to register for sales tax? In most instances, if you're above the thresholds, I would say yes, because your life is going to be miserable trying to jump through all of these hoops to meet the requirements. And if you miss just one, in some of these states, you know, it can be devastating. So the game's changed. That's what Andy's talking about, the wild, wild west. I mean, this is something that this time last year we wouldn't even be thinking about. But Andy, you know, you showed the slide of the courts there. This is something that has actually been in the courts for 7-8 years. And it was a Colorado case. And it actually went to the U.S. Supreme Court twice. And the U.S. Supreme Court didn't decide on the merits, but they actually didn't strike it down either. Colorado was free to impose this as of last July 1st, 2017. And everyone's jumping on board since then. So it's tough.
Yeah. Kristen asked the question that, you know, we've got this case at the Supreme Court right now called Wayfair. And so there's a big movement to kill Quill. Quill is the one case that is there that helps businesses, because Quill says you have to have some level of physical presence, more than a slight level of physical presence, before a state can make you collect their use tax or sales tax. And that's been that's about all the good that Quill can do for you, but at least it's something, right? For a smaller seller, so they don't have to worry about the laws in all these different states. But the states are aggressively trying to, it's called Kill Quill. That's the movement. And Amazon's right in there with them. You know, they since they have to collect tax everywhere, they don't want to compete with people that don't have to pay tax anywhere, collect tax. And so Kristen is asking if Quill is upheld. So people are trying to kill it, but she's saying if Quill is upheld, which seems like in our current environment, that seems like a remote chance. But as I write in my article, I sure hope that they do uphold Quill. And I even hope that they sanction the state governments for passing laws against Quill. Will that happen? Mike, what do you think? What's the chance that the Supreme Court will fine state governments for passing these laws in the first place?
Big fat zero. That's my percentage. I don't think that
give me something. You know, even the worst team in the NFL has a chance of winning the Super Bowl.
I think there's Quill may be upheld, but I don't think that the states are going to get any type of serious slap on the wrists. Well, here's the thing. You had a Supreme Court justice solicit this case. So how can you slap a state if one of your own justices is saying, hey, I think it's time to overturn Quill?
Valid point.
So it's should they censure these states? Yes. But, you know, I would censure my own fellow justice there before. Hey, what are you doing here? You're not supposed to be creating policy out there. You're not supposed to be soliciting cases. Mm-hmm. You know, in a concurring opinion in that notice and reporting that we were just talking about, that's mm-hmm. where he solicited this case.
Yeah.
So
he's got it started. He's the sheriff that basically said, "I'm checking out. If you want to come in and rob the banks while I'm on vacation, be my guest."
He's no friend to small business. He's in the state's pocket.
Yeah. Might not be in their pocket, but he's certainly sympathizing with them, right? So anyway, back to the question. If Quill is upheld, do we consider that a big victory for FBA sellers when we have all these notice and reporting requirements that basically sidestep Quill anyway?
My opinion is it'll be a short-term victory, but I think that we'll see more and more states go to these notice and reporting requirements. We already see at least four that are thinking about or have introduced legislation right now. We'll find out what's happening. And as we get further into this legislative season we're in, we'll probably see more. And if Quill is upheld come this time next year, I expect to see a bunch of them. So any victory we have is going to be short-lived, in my opinion.
So in my fantasy of how this could go, thinking from the perspective of an e-commerce seller on the smaller side, the fantasy would be the Supreme Court upholds Quill strongly and basically slaps everybody for thinking that their precedent wasn't valid. Then the notice and reporting states issue some of these penalties that are so onerous. And then that's when the Congress steps in and outlaws notice and reporting. All right. So that's my pathway to winning the Super Bowl. You know?
I think it's a good pathway. I think Congress
pathway, but the chances of it happening just like that are slim. But I agree with Kristen. In our current environment with these notice and reporting laws, and there's nothing, that's why I say it's the Wild West, and there's no sheriff, and the sheriff is actually the bad guy now, or the good guy is the sheriff. No, whatever. Yeah, the sheriff is the bad guy. These notice and reporting rules just are so un-American even. And there's just nothing we can do about it right now. But let's get to – go ahead, Mike.
I wanted to, since we're talking about this Wayfair case and upholding Quill, I've seen a lot of comments out there that many are saying that if Quill is upheld, then the states will not be able to pursue FBA sellers. And unfortunately, I just don't think that the two relate, because the states, when they're saying that you have inventory in their state, that falls under Quill. That is a link or a connection right. with the state. So that's not going away. So I want to make sure that everyone understands right. that piece of it. And the other thing is, if this is upheld, I've heard some people saying if Quill is upheld, Amazon's going to collect tax everywhere, and that this is the law that's going to make Amazon collect the tax. And unfortunately, there's no direct correlation between this case and whether Amazon is going to collect tax for everyone everywhere or not. So case is very, very important for a number of reasons, not those two.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Because inventory would definitely be still a nexus creating property under Quill, you would think. But I want to talk about what position Amazon is, because I don't want to portray Amazon as necessarily the bad guy here, because Amazon's in a really tough position. If Amazon were to agree or even countenance in a public forum that they had responsibility for collecting taxes and marketplace, that exposes them to tremendous liabilities in the past. Mm-hmm. I have this personal belief, without talking to Bezos or any of the Amazon people, that if Amazon could settle up with each of these states and say, we will collect tax on behalf of these third-party sellers in your state, as long as you don't pursue us in the past, that I think Amazon would do that. And I think states would be happy to take that, except they have to consider the ramifications. So a state has to consider, if we gave that deal to Amazon, why would we not, we would be liable to give that deal to anybody who just wanted to come forward and start collecting tax going forward, which would, and then nobody would comply with the tax until they were found. So states are in a tough spot, and Amazon's in a tough spot. And so there has to be some negotiation, some lawsuit, some path forward to where Amazon can agree to collect tax going forward without it looking like they got a deal and that nobody else could take advantage of. So they might do it as part of like an economic development deal, where if Amazon agrees to put in 10 new warehouses, then as part of that economic development deal, we'll only make you collect tax going forward. That way, yeah, anybody that wants to put $1 billion investment in our state, we will only allow you, we will allow you to collect tax going forward. So that way the state can work it, right? But that's the hard part. So when a state says, either you pay me the tax from the past or you turn over your seller list, your Amazon, what are you going to do? You know? And so facing those types of potential penalties and tremendous, I mean, $1 billion exposure in the past in a given state, it's hard to fault Amazon. In our current environment where states can do pretty much what they want and might win it, it's puts everybody in a terrible spot. Now, Mike, we were talking about notice and reporting, and we were answering Leslie's question about if you're just in, fulfilled by merchant seller, do you only have to register in your home state? And that's when we brought up these notice and reporting rules. And Leslie just wants to know, do those these rules you're talking about apply to electronic downloads also?
That's a great question, and I'm going to give you two answers for it. So most of these states say any taxable sales that have these rules. So if electronic downloads are taxable in that state, then yes, those count in the number of transactions. So I think that answers your question directly, but let's talk about Texas. And Texas is a state that's really out on a limb, we believe. Some states define software as tangible personal property. And even when it's electronically downloaded, it's still defined as tangible personal property.
And they do that because they don't want to change their statute, or they can't get the legislature to change the statute that says we're now going to tax software. So they say, well, we already tax tangible property. So from here on out, since it usually comes on a disk, since it comes on that, let's just redefine software to be tangible. It didn't change its character. They just changed the definition.
Right. So we talked about a number of things creating Nexus, and Nexus is just a fancy term for link or connection. And you have to have that link or connection before the state can require you to collect their sales tax. So Texas says that having tangible personal property in the state, owning tangible personal property in the state, is Nexus creating. That's why your inventory is tangible personal property, something you can see, touch, feel, something you can put on a shelf. That's tangible personal property. But when someone downloads your software, software is usually not sold outright. There's usually some sort of licensing agreement there, which means that the person selling the software or licensing the software retains some sort of ownership. And if you have someone download your software, the position that the state of Texas has taken is that you now own tangible personal property in the state, even though it's just software. Someone downloaded your software. The state of Texas says that you own the personal property. This goes to how hard it can be to fight these things, because the deck is stacked. Texas, is not going to back off this position. You can take them to court. Texas, as far as I know, Andy, that all of the cases that we've seen or been involved in, they have settled out of court.
That's what we understand from talking to attorneys on this, that they will settle, but they're not going to publicly change their position. And it costs, $150,000 to $250,000 to go to court. So
when you talk about downloads, then yes, that can create a problem. I see the follow-up question, ebooks. Pennsylvania just, as part of this law that came out, they changed their definition of what tangible personal property is. And they included a lot of downloaded goods, videos, sound recordings, things that you would, previous to this, not consider to be tangible personal property at all. So more and more states are going out and changing their definition of tangible personal property, and digital goods are in many instances being defined as that. In some states, they may not be called tangible personal property, but they have separate rules for digital goods, and they could be taxable. So if these states in question do tax digital goods, then yes, they count, even if it's not considered to be tangible personal property. So that's a state-by-state question.
All right, Mike, we have just a few minutes. So if you have any more questions, send them in. We have another question by Anonymous. Mike, do you want to answer that? Because I got a guy doing his blower right outside my window, and I'm sure that is annoying.
Where's the question from Anonymous? Is it in Anonymous, the chat?
No, it's in Q&A.
I can't see it.
All right. No. All right, then I'll try to forge ahead. And Anonymous attendee asks, when an FBA seller prospectively registers in a given state, do states always ask for the seller's past inventory event detail report, or do they trust the FBA seller's statements?
Oh, I was looking in chats. I wasn't looking in questions. I found it. Okay. I just need a little bit of help sometimes. They just go, when you register, they're never going to ask you. I shouldn't say never. I've never seen them ask or question. They don't put a detective's hat on when you're getting registered. They take you at face value. If they find you before you've registered, that is something that the state of Washington asks for every single time. Other states, not so much. I was talking to California yesterday, and there was a question about what date on the inventory event detail report, and they just left it up to us to choose which date. So, of course, we chose the date that, you know, where we actually shipped the inventory to California, which was a 10-month difference. So,
any, Mike, any other things that you want to cover in our last 15 seconds?
No, I think we covered all of the big stuff today, Andy. There's a lot of changes out there. I think that we need to stay on top of it. Some of the changes going to be good. Like Pennsylvania, to me, that is a win for FBA sellers. Much more so than Washington. I don't view Washington as a win at all. And, you know, something like a Rhode Island, I see as a big, big loss. I mean, we're going to continue doing these podcasts and bringing out the information and giving our thoughts and views on what the potential risks are and what the wins are. So right now, I'm glad I can talk about something that is positive and on a positive note today.
Excellent. All right, Mike, thank you very much. Okay. Thanks for being with us, everybody. And we hope we answered your questions. And we'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye, everyone.